My name is Walter Peters. I have a background in both computer science and philosophy of technology. I'm very much interested in studying cybersecurity from an angle that either goes a bit more towards the social sciences, so why do people behave in certain ways in the cybersecurity space, but also more towards philosophy and ethics, so what would be reasons for doing things differently in order to support certain values, privacy, but then again, I think privacy is a bit overrated. This is really about power balances, because everything we do in security will give some people access and exclude other people. And that's a very, very fundamental thing. It's basically about power balances that through security we embed into technology. And that is what fundamentally interests me in relation to security and ethics.
How do we live in a world where you just don't know whether or not organizations or governments are behaving in a way that's trustworthy?
Yeah. Transparency versus secrecy is a very important debate within the security space. This already starts out very fundamentally from the question, like, should methods for protecting information be publicly known, or should they be kept secret because otherwise we may be giving too much information away to hackers, etc. So this is a very fundamental thing. And in terms of encryption already, there's the principle like, hey, the encryption algorithm should be publicly known because otherwise we can't even tell how well our information is being protected by means of that encryption, and only the keys used in the encryption should be kept secret. This is a principle called Kerckhoff's principle. This is very old in information security, and a lot of current encryption algorithms actually adhere to that principle, and we've also seen encryption algorithms not adhering to that principle, so algorithms that were secret, trade secrets, etc., being broken the very moment the algorithm became known. So in that sense, there, I think most researchers would agree this is good practice. On the other hand, it seems that there's also certain limits to what we want to be transparent there, both in terms of security controls, where we're not giving away every single thing governments do in terms of security online. So there is some level of security by obscurity there. And more generally, to what extent is transparency a good thing? This again ties in with who is a threat. I mean, we have the whole WikiLeaks endeavor, and some people say, well, this is great. The government shouldn't be keeping all that stuff secret. So it's great for trust that this is now all out in the open. On the other hand, you could argue, well, this is actually a threat to trust in the government. So this form of transparency would be very bad for trust. So there's clearly a tension there. Some level of transparency may help people trust in the protections embedded in the technology and in the actors that use those technologies online. But on the other hand, if there's too much transparency, all the nitty-gritty details may actually decrease trust. You see this all over the place. We've seen that with electronic voting as well. If you provide some level of explanation on how certain technologies are being secured, that may help. If you provide too much detail, people won't understand it and it will only increase distrust. There is a kind of golden middle there in terms of how much explanation you should give to make people trust in certain forms of security, encryption, etc. And again, in the end, people will have to rely on experts, because physical forms of security, physical ballot boxes, it's possible to explain kind of how these work and how they are being secured. With digital, that becomes much more complicated. And for most people, they will have to trust the judgment of experts that these forms of security are actually good, if the experts believe so.
What's something an organization can do in order to establish themselves as a trustworthy, morally sound, ethical organization?
I think the most important thing that companies can do is very clear in terms of managing expectations. So a couple of examples there. If as a company you decide to provide end-to-end encryption for communications, the people that use your chat app to exchange messages get the assurance that the messages are encrypted between their device and the device of the one that they're communicating with. And this is a clear statement like, hey, we're doing it this way. And that also means that then you shouldn't have any backdoors or means to give this communication away to the intelligence agency anyway, because if this is your standpoint, then people need to be able to trust in that. Similarly, if you were running a social network site and you want people to trust in your policies, then it needs to be crystal clear, not only that it's possible to change your privacy settings to regulate the access that other users of the social networking service have to your data, but at the same time, you need to be crystal clear about how you, as a social network operator, are using that kind of data. Because sometimes I get the big internet companies are offering all kinds of privacy settings, which give people the impression that they can do a lot in terms of their privacy. But yes, this is true for the inter-user data access, but the provider still sees everything. This seems to be a way of framing privacy in terms of inter-user data access, whereas I think it's much more fundamental what these companies can do with all the data they gather from all their use and what that means in terms of their power and the position that they get in this whole area of cyberspace, this whole arena. So managing expectations, I mean, there's all kinds of different standpoints, also based on different ethical theories, based on different political points of view that you could take in this space. If you want to behave ethically, then make sure you list your principles, you list what you do in terms of security and privacy to adhere to those principles, and make sure that people can actually trust that this is also what you do in practice. And also make sure that you know exactly what you're going to do in case something goes wrong anyway. We've seen too many breaches where the responses by the companies were not quite up to standards in terms of delaying the announcement of the breach, or it's crucial to not only do some prevention in terms of security and privacy, but also know what you're going to do in case something goes wrong.
You know, you say if an IoT device gets created and they get to market their product first and then they'll fix the security and privacy later, that's too late. Is it sort of like we're doomed already and we're just sort of managing the best way we know how?
Anyway, it's a good thing when we are nervous about where our society is going, because in history, at moments where people weren't nervous enough about where society was going, we've seen things go terribly wrong. So in a sense, we need to get rid of the illusion that we can easily be in control or something like that, because we can't. The same for elections. There is no neutral space from which people can cast their vote without being influenced. And we've seen in recent elections that actually technology is playing more and more of a role in how people perceive political parties and how they make decisions in terms of voting. So it's inevitable that technology companies have a role in those elections. And that's also what they need to acknowledge. And then, of course, and I think this is a big question that needs to be asked, can we prevent the situation in which the power of certain online stakeholders, whether those are companies or whether they're foreign nation states or whatever, can we prevent the situation in which they get so much power that they are able to influence our governments, either through elections or through other means? That's a situation that we really don't want to be in. And I'm not pretending that I have crystal clear answers there, but this is something that at least we should consider as a possible scenario. And then there's all these doomsday scenarios with Cyber Pearl Harbor, and I'm not sure whether these doomsday scenarios are the best way to think about this, but we should also not be naive and think that all of this will blow over, because maybe indeed we have already been giving away too much power in a sense. So what we should do is fundamentally rethink the way we think about security and privacy from, oh, damn, my photos are, I don't know, whatever, in the hands of whoever. That's not the point. It's about the scale in which certain actors either get their hands on data of lots of individuals or are able to influence lots of individuals. So again, scale comes in there. It's not about our individual privacy. It's about the power these stakeholders get by having access to the data, also by being able to influence lots and lots of people. And that's what the debate needs to be about.
Whoever has the data has power, is what you're getting at.
So whoever has the data, and in a sense, that data can then again be used also to influence people in a targeted way. If you know that somebody's interested in something, you can try to influence their behavior by referring to the thing that they're interested in.
That's only if you have data integrity.
Yes, of course. But on the other hand, a little bit of noise in the data doesn't matter too much, because if you have data that's more or less correct, you can still achieve a lot.
Anything that I didn't touch upon that you think is important for our listeners to know?
The one thing that I think is critically important in this is the role that ethical hackers can have in keeping people alert, in a way maybe even changing the rules of the game, because in the end, I also don't think that all security issues issues can be solved in the design of technology. And it's critically important that when technology are being deployed, that people keep an eye on issues that may have been overlooked in the design stage of those technologies. We need some people that are paying attention and will be alerting us to issues that may emerge.
It's a scary role to be in, though, if you're an ethical hacker, because what if the government comes around and accuses you of being an unethical hacker?
Yes, that's an issue. But if that's currently happening, if people are afraid to play this role because legislation doesn't protect them enough, then maybe we need to do something about that. If we don't have people that point us to essential weaknesses in security, then what will happen is that those issues will be kept secret and that they will be misused in ways that we don't know about. And I think that's a much worse situation to be in.